Episode 79 of the Church Digital Podcast, powered by Stadia Church Planning. Jeff here. Got a fun episode for you. Dave Ferguson's going to be coming up down the road. So if you really want to fast forward and skip the fun part, okay, Dave's fun, but the fun part of this where we're giving away stuff, you want to fast forward maybe to up to minute 14 or so and get caught up. But before then, listen to this. We are celebrating the Church Digital Podcast. We are celebrating our 10,000th play. Over 10,000 podcast episodes have been listened to by you, audience that's out there. And we are crazy excited about that. So we're bringing Ray in. We're going to be talking about just celebrating what's been happening through the Church Digital over the past year or so, celebrating by giving stuff away, giving you an audience out there, the listeners out there, an opportunity to engage with us because we want to hear from you. And then, oh, by the way, Dave Ferguson. So it's going to be a packed hour here with this podcast. So if you're looking for Dave, fast forward to minute 14, check out the show notes and engage with us and maybe even win something in process. Man, is that not a podcast episode or what? This is awesome. Hey, here y'all go. Hey, we're bringing Ray in for the opening. Say hey, Ray.
Hey, everybody. 10K. So excited. Thank you so much for all your help to get there.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd make 1K. I wasn't even sure we would make 100. Some of those early podcasts, listen to like, I think episode 4 with Tyler was like the first podcast we ever recorded. And it was a little embarrassing. It was a lot of editing to kind of make that thing happen. But here we are. 10,000. So
yeah, luckily our audience, you guys have been so forgiving with us as we've moved through this over time, and probably because all of you are embarrassed about your early Church Online videos. I know I'm still embarrassed about mine. That's the glory of Church Online, is that we can always go by and live through our embarrassments, isn't it?
Yeah, and the challenge that I would even throw to the audience out there is I was kicking around the idea of doing a podcast for a year. And I kept trying to make the thing perfect right out of the gate. I got to have the background music. I got to write up the perfect intro. I was trying to create this perfect scenario. And it's funny. I keep hearing this phrase, version one's better than version none. And so instead of just sitting on it and waiting, Gary V, thank you for that, by the way, instead of just sitting on your hands, trying to get it to be perfect, just get started.
It's true. And you know, Jeff, I was wrong, because initially, like, I thought we should ship out one episode a month. You know what I'm saying? And you were pushing early on, and you were right about doing one a week. And I was just nervous that we couldn't churn out that kind of content on the onset. And then the moment we started getting discussion with leaders and with different folks, number one, it just became a lot of fun. You know, it just became a lot of fun and real easy to do. But then number two, I was surprised at how many other people we just kept getting referred to that were in this space. I mean, a lot of this stems out of, and the audience doesn't know this, they'll hear about this in a future episode, a conversation that Jeff, myself, Neil Smith, Jay Cranda, and Greg Atkinson had over a cup of coffee at a Starbucks in Disneyland. And even back then, we thought we were alone in this. We didn't think that there were many players in this space, because either we were either A, full of ourselves, or just B, you know, feeling like we were Don Quixote tilting at windmills in some cases. But, you know, if you're out here and you're thinking, man, I can't make more content, let me encourage you. There are plenty of leaders. There are plenty of people that are there around you. Invite them into the conversation. Invite them into the conversation, because you'd just be surprised at the new world that you're going to open up. I definitely have been pleasantly surprised by this. And here we are at 10,000 listens in only 79 episodes. I hate to say it like that. Like, it's pretty incredible, beyond what we had originally thought.
Well, yeah. And this is a super niche, audience, right? Pre-COVID, the number of people who were interested in doing church online, I mean, like, it was a very small audience. Now it's increased, you know, thank you, global pandemic, for being on our side. By the way, if you're ever interested in launching a podcast, global, be sure pandemic to center it around a global pandemic that will definitely help your cause. Absolutely. Launching future podcasts. So remember that, write that down. That'll be helpful down the road. But in this season, it's been awesome having conversations and with people who are by far experienced, who've been doing this for a decade, all the way down to like the guy who's just starting out. Big churches and small churches are like, hey, how do you do this thing? What's involved? How do I even start in this conversation? And the fun thing in all this is there's no silver bullet. Yep. Church A, Church B, Church C, everything looks different in how it is. And so what I love about the conversations that we're having or even the conversations when the people that we're interviewing, we're having talking with, are even honest to the point of saying, hey, we're just experimenting. Mm-hmm. We have no idea. Three months from now, we may still be doing this. 3 months from now, it may look completely different. Yep. But rather than not trusting, not being willing to try, rather than waiting, we're leaning in, we're leaning forward and trying to figure out how to work through this season.
Yeah, that's so true. And even kind of moving into the future, and I think what a lot of people are looking for is they're looking for definitive answers with Church Online. And what we've kept trying to say through this podcast, and we hope that you take this lovingly, those of you who are listening out there, maybe for the first time on this episode, maybe for different reasons, but there are no definitive answers. It's going to continue to evolve and change, just as church planting, methods of reaching people for Christ, all these things are constantly changing. And we cannot be afraid of that change. Instead, what we must do is we must put on our faith lens and say, okay, so how does the gospel move through these mediums, move through these avenues? Because the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. I'm sure that in the future, Jeff, we're probably going to be talking more VR. We're probably going to be talking more online small groups and how some of that's working out as more and more church small groups have gone completely online and are even afraid to go back together in physical spaces because they just don't want to get sick.
Oh yeah, wait till 5G technology comes out and church is going to be revolutionized even around that. The world's going to be revolutionized even around that. You're going to see more of these revolutions coming quicker and quicker as technology grows and expands. But even as much as and this is what I love about the church online circles and the people that have been doing ministry in this area for a while. Even as much as we love the technology, even as much as we love the new toy, the new fandangled gadget, the new Apple version of the iPhone, iPod, iPad, AirPods, the Apple goggle glasses that better be coming sometime soon.
Waiting on them, Tim.
Yeah. It's not about the technology. It's about the relationship aspect. And if you hear one thing, that's a constant theme throughout all of this, it's the relational component of church online, not broadcasting a single message for the world to hear, but engaging in a conversation, a relational conversation that's going to help you connect with people. It was funny. Ray and I have been talking. A tweet doesn't change the world.
Nope.
It's impossible to get a one-way communication blasted out to the masses. If you're on Twitter, you understand that. An individual conversation with another person, relating to and listening to is how we church online can move forward in the coming years. Mm-hmm. And that's the culture really that I believe we need to shift. What technology does allow us to do is to connect with you listeners that are out there. And so here's what we want to do. We want to give away stuff because why not celebrate 10K, by giving away Starbucks coffee. So assuming your Starbucks is still open, majority of them still are. Some of them may be shutting down. Some of them may be moving to a mobile only delivery kind of system. But either way, you've probably got a Starbucks somewhere near you. So here's what we're doing. We want to give away three $10 Starbucks gift cards to our listening audience that's out there. We'll do delivery digitally. We'll text, email, whatever it is. Here's what I need you to do. To register for the giveaway, I want to hear from you how the Church Digital Podcast has helped your church grow and expand its ministry. How listening to this podcast, how interacting with your leaders, sharing some of these ideas, how the Church Digital Podcast has helped change your church in this COVID season, before this COVID season, whatever, just let us know. There's a system we're using, it's called Video Peel, that's gonna help us collect the information from you. But here's what I need you to do. Go to thechurch.digital/10K, the number 10, letter K. Yeah, all 10 with a K. That's not a K, but it's, you get the idea. Maybe that's okay. It's just weird now. I'm embarrassed. thechurch.digital/10K. Let us know how we've helped you, your church. All submissions will be registered. We will be contacting the winners within a week of the broadcast of this. So that's going to be Monday, June 22nd, 2020. And hopefully you get some coffee. Listen, we have a niche audience, okay? Like, let's just be honest. Like, we're not Carrie Newhoff worth a million people listening every week. So we're consistent. We're to our loyal listeners. So this is your opportunity to register, to submit some stuff, to engage with us, to start a conversation with us. And by the way, maybe win some coffee off it.
That's right. You know, and think about that. Because it's not such a huge field, your odds of winning are that much greater. I mean, if you're just looking for a free coffee, why not take advantage of this? So send us your video. Doesn't have to be a long sermon about it. Doesn't have to be a whole spiel. Maybe you want to point to a particular episode. Maybe you want to point to a conversation we had or a particular takeaway that you said, man, you know what? This came off of this and I decided to make this decision and this is how it panned out for us. So no matter what it is, doesn't have to be that long. Doesn't have to be that short. Just send us how God used our show in your life and we'll celebrate it together.
That's awesome. By the way, I want to give a special shout out as we get into our episode here to one of our listeners in Canada. Her name is Tanis. Now this is crazy because, you know, Twitter's Twitter. A single tweet doesn't change the world, but it can help you get connected to somebody. So Dave Ferguson, leader of the Exponential Conference, lead pastor at Community Christian Church in Chicago, author of Hero Maker and just all sorts of, a guy that I look up to in Christian circles. So Dave Ferguson's on Twitter and he's writing and he's doing this post about this idea, this thread of posts talking about how digital discipleship can feed into house churches and micro locations. And this is going to revolutionize like the church. And so one of our listeners out there is my dog barks in celebration of the 2000 episode. One of our listeners out there, Tanis. So she tweets Dave Ferguson off of this and says, hey, you really need to talk to Jeff Reed, tags me in it, and says about this because he talks about this stuff all the time. And so meekly, I look at this tweet and it's like, okay, Dave Ferguson, this listener named Tanis who lives in Canada, who got connected to me through like the Church Online Summit, which was produced by Steve Fogg, who lives in Australia. Like this is an international thing.
Australia.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, it's what? Yes, that how you say it? Are you making fun of me right now?
I have no idea. You're becoming a Hillsong worship leader before my eyes. This is incredible.
I'm paying respect, man. But it's funny. Like, and so I'm like, hey, Dave, would you like to be on my podcast? And Dave replies, yes. And so, holy cow, we got Dave Ferguson on the podcast for the 10,000th play. So we're bringing, by the way, Tanis, thank you very much. Tanis, I'm going to send you a Starbucks gift card just for the reference, because there's no other way I would have gotten Dave Ferguson to be on the podcast without that. Side note, all you other listeners, start tagging people too and throwing them my way.
Yes.
Maybe there's a little selfish ego involved in that, but we'll roll with it. It's okay.
If any of you know Mark Zuckerberg or anybody like that, that you want to tag on one of our deals, I mean, I'm just saying, just do it.
Yeah. Dude, Zuck on the podcast. I don't even know where to start with that one. All right. So
it starts with a tweet. That's how we know it starts. It starts with a tweet.
So here's where we are. We're bringing in episode 79 of the Church Digital Podcast here. Dave Ferguson, like we said, Exponential Lead Director of the Exponential Conference and other things. Community Christian Church Lead Pastor of Community Christian in Chicago. Seriously, we just had this solid conversation on multiplication and an apprenticeship and talking about how to do this in this new COVID season, post-COVID season, coming in, coming out, wherever we are, but where we are today. Solid conversation. Once again, he doesn't have all the answers. He says that up front. I'm learning from this. I'm wanting to explore and to understand it. But this idea of, and he uses the word apprenticeship instead of multiplication or disciple-making, discipleship. But the idea of apprenticing people and growing them to unleash them on ministry is at the heart of what he's done pre-COVID. He was doing it pre-COVID in the physical realm. But now in mid-COVID, man, we got to figure out how to do this digitally and do it digitally effectively. And that's really the challenge of this podcast. Yeah, we've got Dave Ferguson, leader of the Exponential Conference, and myself, Jeff, with the Church Digital and Stadia Church Planning, in a conversation centered around multiplication and apprenticeship. Okay, everybody, here you go. Well, hello. How are you doing?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing, buddy?
Doing very good. Hey, thank you for just even being willing to jump on this podcast with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, actually, I was looking for an excuse to meet you. So, I mean, talk to you even.
Even, yeah, I appreciate. Yeah, I'm Jeff.
Seriously, I think some of the stuff you're talking about that we're talking about now is like mission critical. So yes. The more connections I can make, the better for me.
Yeah, I had, and even just background for me, I resigned a church. I've been a church staff 15, 20 years, mega church, giga church, multi-site, kind of those environments. And God put this model, this online discipleship, micro-locations, just on my heart. I executed it at the church. The church wasn't interested in doing it. And ultimately, I stepped out of a church staff job in 2018 because I literally, God told me to do this. And it's not, I don't
he
know.
He just told you 2 years before everybody else.
You know, and it's been a lot of kind of paving the way, having hard conversations, you know, looking at having pastors tell me I'm crazy. And then, you know, COVID happens and all of a sudden, you know, that crazy guy over there is right. And so, you know, even seeing kind of the comment that came up, like other people were thinking about this, I'm like, look at him, look what he said. This is awesome. Like keep tracking with it because I may be the crazy guy, but I'm not the only crazy guy saying this stuff. So,
well, if you're crazy, I want to be crazy.
Awesome.
are you getting a place? Do you have a place to implement this stuff that you're talking about? Dreaming about now?
Yeah. So, in addition to the church digital stuff, I'm on staff with Stadia as their director of digital church planting. And so we're pre-COVID, I was designing a digital only expression of church that was more like a micro hub, KC underground, Tampa underground, with a digital footprint as well, either digital or physical. And I think that's still the track that we're on. COVID kind of caused us to pivot a little bit. We're doing a lot of digital church, helping larger churches go digital. But in that same vein, while we're taking them digital, we're teaching them some of the practices of the micro, of the house church. And so I did a podcast the other day with a church in Kansas City, Kentucky. You know, they in this COVID season, they launched 100 micro locations. They weren't even doing online small groups pre-COVID. And just seeing the direction, they launched online small groups and launched with 100 micro locations with another 100 coming as things ease up.
What church was that?
That was Northeastern Community Church. I can get you information on that one, but they're tracking well with it. Within Stadia, the desire is to, and even ramping up was just emailing my bosses, Craig, Whitney, but working with them and starting to strategize, okay, this is what we're doing physical. What are we doing digital? How do we preach and how do we get churches to understand a disciple making movement, one that's not grounded in church service, but one that's grounded in individuals and kind of growing and expanding from there, giving it time for the flywheel to activate and then allowing it to go. And that's, you know, even as I cast that vision out of churches, you know, I had a pastor recently tell me, he's like, Jeff, we've got 1500 people coming on a weekend. And you're telling me that you would rather me do this relational thing, that it's better for the three staff people to be relational instead of doing the 1500. And I was like, well, I think it's better that you empower people to reach people. And if you want to compare the 1500 versus the 100 people that are probably already active in your church that could be unleashed on mission, yeah, I think 100 people unleashed are going to be more effective than your 1500 person service online. And that's a hard truth. The service plays a role. The queen has its place. But sometimes it's not, I don't think it's at the power that it should be, that it currently is now.
Well, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm fascinated. We'll put our chips in, but I'm still trying to figure it out. Yeah, I wear three hats primarily. I'm the lead pastor at Community Christian Church, which is a multi-site church in Chicago. We have locations in the city and the suburbs, and my brother John and I and a handful of friends started that back in the day. And by God's kindness, that gave birth to New Thing, and I get to play the role of the visionary leader for New Thing. We have Last time I talked to Patrick, our global leader, last week, I think 180 some networks globally and over 3,000 churches that are committed to reproducing and planted. I won't have the exact number, but between 800 and 900 churches last year. And then I also get to serve as the president of the Exponential Conference, which, well, with my buddy Todd Wilson, a conference we kind of just took over. We just kind of said, hey, we'll lead it this year. And we've been doing it ever since for like last 13 or 14 years. And in fact, earlier today, I just got off a Zoom call with our Exponential Europe board. And so we're going to be launching that this year in Europe. So I love all things church planting, all things multiplication. And I think that feeds right into what our topic is today. So I'm excited about talking.
I love that. I almost would love to have a side conversation about the nuances between like a multiplication in Exponential Europe versus like even here in America and what some of those nuances are. But
oh, well, maybe, we could do it.
Maybe that's another conversation. We'll put a stick on that and call episode two. Hey, so this is I love the internet. I feel like I just want to say that up front because it's fascinating to me that you and I are having this conversation. So I connected to Dave essentially through Twitter. You know, most people are kind of abandoning Twitter and moving on. I love Twitter because it's where you get to really engage and have solid conversations with like real life people. Yeah, I mean, there's yelling on Twitter and whatever, but somehow, Dave, you were talking about online discipleship and the ability to launch micro locations, and evidently someone who I've never met, who ironically lives in Canada, tagged me because she saw me speak at a conference into this thing, and lo and behold, you're on my podcast. So first off, you know, I want to continue to give thanks to listeners and the people out there who are like, hey, this stuff is awesome. You need to like connect and do this. So,
Dave, and I kind of did a little homework and realized who you were and what you're up to. And I'm going like, okay, this would be at this time a good person for me to get connected with as I'm trying to grow in my understanding of this. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh no, it's a whole new world where a lot of these things, even pre-COVID, there was coming on the horizon, the swinging of church online, the acceptance of a digital model of discipleship. We knew this was coming, you know, in my mind, honestly, I was tracking with it more the beginning of 5G technology, I think would have been a swing, even like AI as it becomes more apparent later. Yep. this decade. You know, I don't think anybody really saw COVID coming, but the influence of that and the gasoline of the flame of, okay, now culture just fast-tracked. We just got out of the DeLorean. And now
like a dam that just broke, and all of a sudden there's like a tidal wave you got coming now.
Yeah. And so how the church shifts out coming out of this and how we adjust, and maybe some lessons, you know, we talk a lot about lessons with the new normal and the next normal and all that. And, you know, there's definitely some things that we, the church, need to understand and work through. So, but let's even just open up with this, because I think we're going to be talking a lot about discipleship, about disciple making, a lot of those types of words, which, by the way, is nothing new to the podcast. We talk about it all the time. But one of the things that's intriguing to me is that people define the word differently. I think if you get like 10 pastors in the room and ask them what discipleship means, I think you'd get 20 different answers. So maybe even just in your context, as a guy who's done multiplication around the world, what does discipleship, what does that mean? What does that look like for you?
In our context, and actually it's fascinating because we seldom use the word disciple, because it feels like that word's kind of been co-opted to mean cramming a lot of content in someone's brain, going through a course, taking a certain class, that kind of stuff. But knowing the spirit of what you're talking about, I encourage leaders when I'm working with them, like it because discipleship is really about growing as an apprentice with Jesus, and it's a relational term. You can't fully define it or fully measure it, but do yourself a favor and do the best you can, and then start trying to measure that. So in the spirit of that, what we've done at Community Christian Church, the church I lead, is what we try to do is we try to develop what we call 3C Christ followers. And the 3 C's are celebrate, connect, and contribute. And those are 3 different dimensions of the relationship of an apprentice of Jesus. You have your relationship with God, which is celebrate. your relationship with the church, doing the community together, and that's connect. And then you have a relationship with the world, and that's where you contribute to make, to contribute to God's dream, to make it everything God meant for it to be. So we talk about celebrate, connect, and contribute. Fully understand that isn't, you can't really fully measure those, but we found some ways to really develop some metrics around those, and that helps us least go like, okay, here's the direction we're headed, and do a better job of going like, okay, how are we doing in growing 3C Christ followers or disciples?
Yeah, I understand the co-op. I love the 3 C's. I understand the co-oping of the word. I'm just curious, what is your natural language? What's the phrase you use to talk about?
Apprenticing the ways of Jesus. Yeah, so not unlike Dallas Willard, or you, if you've listened to a lot of John Mark Comer stuff, he uses that too.
Okay.
But that works for us.
And the idea of disciple making, discipleship, apprenticeship, mm-hmm. the idea of doing this in digital circles pre-COVID, and I'll just be the one, like, hugely controversial. Pre-COVID 2019, majority of churches were not doing anything online. Maybe 10% were broadcasting a service. But when it came time to building relationships, disciple making, online small groups, even caring about people who were outside of the physical circle of influence of any one campus, the church was really kind of dispersed and hands off from that. Now, COVID, we're understanding and we're beginning to kind of see how we can start to engage in this discipleship, in this relationship aspect from a digital standpoint. What lessons, just even maybe from the outside 40,000 foot high level, what are you learning in this season when it comes to apprenticeship, when it comes to multiplication in context of doing it digitally?
Yeah, I think not quite as advanced as yourself, but pre-COVID, I mean, I had the opportunity to, there were some people that influenced me. I'd already plugged into a lot of stuff that Glue was doing. So I got to know Scott Beck. And of course, you've spent any time with Scott, who's the founder there. I mean, Scott makes the point, which that all human growth happens by relationships. All human growth happens by relationships. And I think, and that totally fit the way we do church and totally fit our understanding of who God is and our theology. And the more we began to talk, and he introduced me to a guy named Paul Sangeet Chodroy, who I don't know if you've had a chance to read his book called The Platform Revolution. He's an MIT prof, a brilliant guy. And basically he began to lay out what it looked like to be a platform organization. And the more that I heard Scott talk about, you know, all human growth is relationships, and read through Dr. Chodroy's stuff, and then also got a chance to kind of interact with him just a little bit. As well, you put those two together, and you're going like, holy smokes. I mean, for someone like me, who has a chronic preoccupation with movement and multiplication, you're going, oh, here's the deal. This is how you scale something. And I think, and so we were starting down that path, and I can go more into that, but like you just said, though, I mean, COVID kind of, I think it's the crisis that forced all of us, kind of shoved us out the door, said, whether you like it or not, here we go.
Yeah. I think one of the big lessons, you know, that I think we're still learning is this idea of scale versus reach. Okay. Like we have the churches would look at pre-COVID, you know, I had a pastor tell me, hey, Jeff, literally this was the conversation. Hey, Jeff, I want to see people around the world get saved listening to my messages. I want to see somebody in Ethiopia get baptized. But the area around my church where I want to do ministry, I want to do discipleship, I don't want them to hear my services online. I want them to come to the building where I can build relationships with them. The guy in Ethiopia, let's be missional. Let's be outward facing. I want to reach that far, but I don't want to engage with them. I don't want to build that relationship. That's someone else's problem. And I think what's fascinating is even the strength of online isn't the reach. Yeah, it's cool. Somebody on the other side of the planet can listen to a one-way conversation. You're in Chicago right now. I'm in Miami. It's far cooler that the two of us are having an open conversation right here online. And the fact that we can engage with people. By the way, I just met this guy the other day. His name's Tomei. He's from Nigeria. He is the Nigerian version of Jeff Reed, former church staff guy, doing all sorts of digital church online stuff in Nigeria. And I'm literally having an hour-long conversation with this guy via Zoom, and we're swapping stories. We're encouraging each other towards that. And so, like, there's maybe not at the spiritual level, but there's almost like there's this apprentice-level conversation where I'm learning from him, he's learning from us, and now we're able to go off and do things.
I'm saying what you're describing, I mean, I think it is a form of discipleship. I mean, is he a believer?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're basically mentoring each other. And what has become the platform for making that possible, that relationship possible, is the internet. I think we're a paradigm shift, which is a big deal, but we're a paradigm shift or a mental block away from seeing that and how we can do that over and over and over and over again.
What digital allows us to do is break away from this model of being in the church to have this disciple making, to have this apprentice level relationships. Digital allows us to scale out much broader, much wider, much more effective, where I can have this conversation with this guy in Nigeria. A church attender can reach out to their high school, people they graduated high school from, or reengage with a college roommate, or gather together people who have a similar attribute, like a club or a hobby or something, and start to build relationships that way. I think what you're beginning to see is this idea of breaking apart the church out of a physical location and doing it more neighborhood-based, reaching out to, you know, circle of influence within the neighborhood, or even doing some things digitally where we start to examine and dig into relationships and communities that already exist digitally. As a pastor, as somebody who's, you know, you're dealing with the multiplication, you're understanding the physical aspects, you know, what challenges do you feel? Does that make you excited? Does that make you scared? Does that make you, like, tell me your temperature when we're talking about, okay, I want to break up the building, and instead of it being a location, I want to disseminate it and spread it across multiple locations.
is adrenaline rush a temperature? that's how it makes me feel. No, I mean, because 2 weeks ago, I was telling my executive pastor, going, no, these buildings are like an albatross. Now, that's probably an over exaggeration, because I think there's some good things that can come out of it. But, and certainly community isn't the only case, but I mean, like this weekend, our engagement was probably more than double what it was pre-COVID. So, I mean, and we have more people in small groups, we have more people serving, and even financially, we're in a better spot than we were before. So it's kind of like, there's not anything, at least so far, to be afraid of, except the ignorance of, like, when we finally do leverage this platform to its fullest extent, I mean, wow, what could happen?
Yeah. One of the things that I love with like a dispersed model, I can play the card. I can totally have the conversation right now, and maybe we'll get to it later. But the idea of a digital only church, a church that only exists, which is still controversial, even when you talk with like online pastors who live in online space and that's their job to minister. Even like Jay Kranda Saddleback, he and I have conversations on all the time where we talk about the necessity of the physical space as well, which to me is one of the reasons why we want to have the house church location or some sort of a physical, like the biggest challenge.
Why does he think, what's the necessity of it?
Well, here's the challenge. Like, let's talk about it. If I am if I'm a Christian on Facebook, but I'm a jerk to my wife, and I'm an a-hole to my kids.
Right.
What am I? Am I really a Christian, or is it? It's one thing to be.
Yeah, but dude, that happens all the time in our churches, right?
Isn't that
you
funny?
You think the guy, the deacon who shows up, you know, with a smile on his face, but then, you know, 2 years later we find out he's been beating his wife. I mean, that happens. That doesn't just happen in digital spaces, right? That happens in physical spaces.
Yeah. And that's the challenge, though. Would be, let's figure out how the goal would be online to offline. The gospel that we hear in our online world has to affect our offline relationships. So it's one thing for him. The challenge is to stay away from consumerism. Don't just be the guy listening. Don't just be the guy listening to the podcast, but create environments so that it has to impact your real world. A sermon in on a podcast or a sermon watched on Facebook Live is one thing, but if it's to the level that it creates a reaction that influences the real world, that's the win.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you say the same thing about the online world. In fact, I think you might be able to make the case that in an online world, your engagement with, take like a sermon, is even more serious, because because when they show up at my website, they can actually pick which sermon they want to watch. And they get to pick which one that they engage with, which probably is kind of because there's something going on in their life. So there's probably a deeper engagement than if they show up at one of our 10 locations, because they have to listen to whatever comes out of my mouth then. And they may, and just because they're there, doesn't mean they're actually
Mean they're engaged.
Right?
Thank you for being honest right there and appreciating that.
Well, that's a brutal fact. Right?
But it's true where with a digital environment, you're able to craft and create something that's more tailor suited for an individual. And it's interesting. Kerry Newhoff, I love Kerry. He does those list yeah. things that are so well, you know, and he talks about how there's the, he did an analog and digital comparison. Analog, sure. The old school way, listed out seven things. Digital, then he listed off seven things on that side. And one of the things that was fascinating to me, and actually a bunch of people were like, that's wrong, was analog, he had the word global underneath analog. And under digital, he had local. And it was funny, like pastors were like, that's backwards, that's wrong. You know, you have global reach on the analog side. And so Kerry had a typo, Kerry did a mistake. And I was like, no, you're missing the point. Digital gives you the opportunity to customize things for the individual. In analog way, you're blasting a single message everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's not about that. And even to the point of in a disciple-making relationship, it's not blasting a single message analog. It's connecting and unleashing and immobilizing individuals with the message to go out and do things within their circle of influence. The relational aspects of church online, of discipleship online, of all of these things allow for a much more individualized approach in an appearance. Automation is awesome. But if we automate so much out of disciple making us out of that apprentice style relationship, man, we've really lost the value of the human touch from that. And that's really the thing that we're looking for in this day and age. It's that relational aspect. Do you feel tension of, you even talked about it, you're on stage, you're preaching the sermon, everybody's hearing that. In the room though, they may need more personalization, they may need more of a different approach. Do you feel the tension to try to feel that? Do you meet those needs in other ways? Like, how do you see digital kind of helping your church kind of automate through that? Do you have any practical insights on that?
I think in that one in particular, I think the big aha for me is there's like, well, at least three different opportunities. So you have the content you're creating this week for them to engage with. So like this Sunday, you know, we're going through a series called Pray Like This. And we're going through, you know, disciples said, how should we pray? Jesus said, pray like this. So we got that you can engage with. But then you also, let me back. Let's say I think your term's digital. So in the physical world, okay, in our physical buildings, they can come and experience that. But then you can also experience that online. But the third part, and I think the third one, the big aha to me that's vastly been underestimated right now, is all of your previous content. Because most of us in the church world, we only think about the big idea I'm creating for this weekend. And that's what we advertise on our website. And that's what everybody has to engage with. That's what we measure. We only measure kind of what they engage with this week. But all of a sudden, like, so for example, I was fortunate enough, I got to write a book called Finding Your Way Back to God, or a book called Starting Over. Well, once we did that series back in the day, it's done. But now, guess what? If someone in through Google AdWords or whatever else, however else we want to advertise, if someone's going through a loss of a job or a loss of relationship or some other kind of loss, and they're like, man, if I could only start over, they don't have to go to Pray Like This. They can go to our Starting Over series and engage with that. And so I think we have the opportunity to create this whole smorgasbord of opportunities. So, because like for us, we'd create content and then it goes to our Big Idea resource, which we'd sell to a handful of churches that they could use some other time. But now all of a sudden, no, it's like you open up your whole library of content to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it becomes, you know, the phrase in digital world is evergreen. It's content that's not dated.
They use that same term in publishing too.
Right. And so all of a sudden, you're able to customize things, content, and then with accountability, with follow-up, with relationship, start to walk people through that and get them to process. It's a beautiful thing. And as that creates people that are comfortable with being through that apprentice stage. Well, let me shift gears, because I'm even fascinated with this word apprentice. So an apprentice eventually becomes the guy who's doing the work, the master, right? Master and apprentice. That's kind of the two tiers. So in your church and at multiplication kind of environments, when does an apprentice become the master? When is the person done in that process?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the reason, like you said, we like the terms because it has to do with both the knowing and the doing. So both, you know, and for us, it's fairly simple. Whenever the person who is apprenticing thinks the apprentice is ready, and the apprentice thinks they're ready, then they're ready. And so they send them outside. Okay, now you do the whole thing all over again. No, we don't overcomplicate it. I mean, it's fairly simple that way. When you think you're ready, and the person discipling you, so to speak, thinks you're ready, then you're ready. Go start disciple someone else. We do the same thing at a leadership level. When you're as an apprentice leader, when you think you're ready, and as the leader, when you think your apprentice is ready, send them out to start another group or another team or whatever it is that you're apprenticing them to do.
And so within the church, you're looking at small groups, you're looking at serving opportunities, championing a team, another. And so those are kind of the areas where you're apprenticing and growing. In the middle of this COVID, even coming out of it, like the watch parties, the micro locations, the house churches, you know, that's starting to grow in popularity. Have you guys looked and explored doing anything in that situation? Like what's Community Christian doing right now? Towards that?
Well, we're in a little bit of a unique situation because we're in Chicago and we're also in Illinois, which will be one of the last states to open up. So we're currently still in phase three of a 5-phase plan, which allows us to meet in groups no larger than 10. But what we have in the queue, and this is probably more than you want to know, we've kind of designed a playbook, we're calling it. And so we have four different plays we can run. And play number one is just community online. Everything's online. Play number two is what we're calling 3C communities. Mm-hmm. And our 3C communities, based on like we talked about, Celebrate, Connect, and Ruby, are micro churches. Okay. And so what we'll do is whoever leads that 3C community, they'll be the person who's responsible for bringing people together to celebrate, have that experience, to connect, do life together, and also contribute, make a difference in the world. And those can happen, of course, anywhere in Chicago, but also anywhere. We're in, like, last I heard, 1,500 cities around the world. And so it happened in any of those 1,500 cities where there's someone who says, yeah, I want to lead one of these.
So I'm just curious, what is one of those? And it's a playbook. Like, you've not even executed this. The you know, obviously, Illinois is a little more strict in the grand scheme of things. What does leading one of these 3C house church communities, what does this look like?
Yeah, I think what it is, it's just a small expression of the church where it could be where you live, where you work, or where you play. And probably a lot of them are around affinity, or maybe geography. It's where you live. And it could be, and sometimes I think it could be as small as, you know, a dozen people, and sometimes it could be upwards of maybe 40 people or so that you then break up into smaller groups that meet throughout the week. But essentially what it's exactly what you've been talking about. It's a micro church, a smaller expression of the church that, if I can put on my church planning hat for a second, I mean, that we've been dying for decades now, because the way we plant churches And the way we start new sites is so expensive in most cases. And so, and it's definitely not a movemental form. And suddenly now we're in a season where people's interest in spiritual things is higher than ever. And also what they want is that a lot of them anyway, not all of them, but a lot of them want smaller expressions because it's safer. Yeah. And you put those two things together, it's like this ripe environment suddenly in the Western world to do micro churches like we've seen in the East.
Yeah. We had Daniel M on the podcast pre-COVID, or like right when COVID happened. And, you know, he was talking a lot about his, I don't know that he came up with the terminology, but the social space, that like 20 to 50 person thing that is really missing. It's like you've either got the 10 person, or you got like the church setting, the church plant that's 50 and up, and then the mega and the giga and all that. But that really kind of that safer environment of the 20 and 50 to kind of connect with is gone. And so utilizing a house church or a micro movement just to kind of be that sort of starting point. You know, at Stadia, we've talked about that we don't want to get it to the place of where we're planting a single house church. Like that, the end game for us would not be plant a single house church. It would be, let's figure out how to plant a hub, a network of house churches, similar to like KC Underground or you know, Rob Wagner there, Brian Sanders, and the stuff that he's doing over at Tampa Underground as well, but start to establish a multiplying network of these house churches or micro that allows for a different expression at the 20 versus 50. I'm just curious, like, is it watching the worship? Is it watching the teaching? Is it give freedom for the church? There's centralized, there's decentralized. I'm just curious kind of
how will we do that way? Yeah, that we'll do the same way we do church planting. So like if you came to Community Christian Church and you were a church planter, you could either plant a church with new thing and we'd get great. You could be a part of us and here's the four R's that we follow, or you can go do your own thing and we will bless you and send you off to do that. So the same thing with a micro church expression. If you want to be a 3C community, then yeah, you'll use our big idea content and you'll use our small group stuff and we will provide coaching. We'll provide a leadership community. In fact, I'll tell you what, anybody that's listening, I'll give them my email address, daveferguson@communitychristian.org, daveferguson@communitychristian.org. We'd love to talk to you about this if you want to do it. We will give you a personal coach. We will give you a monthly leadership community. We will give you a relational connection, and we'll also give you all the equipment we possibly can, and then also all of our big idea content. The commitment we'd make ask from them, though, is that they use that and they develop people as 3C Christ followers.
What attributes, what are you looking for someone? What characteristics are you looking for somebody to lead like a house location, something like this?
I think one of the great things about this too is some of the people that you may not have in the past going like, I don't know if I want to plant a church because you're about to invest, you know, $100,000 or $500,000 in, which puts you at a really kind of an exceptional kind of leader. This opens you up to a lot of folks. There's a lot of folks that can, you know, have a job and lead a micro expression of the church. And so I would say probably a lot of people probably have a gift of evangelism. They may have a gift of apostleship. They have a passion for those kind of things. And what we're playing with the idea now is that we would actually covenant with them for 18 months. If they'd be willing to covenant with us for 18 months, we can invest in them for 18 months. They can invest in us. We'd ask them to get an apprentice where they would sort of have a multiplier in it. And then end of 12 months, we'd kind of hopefully it would multiply. We'd also reevaluate. Do you want to go on for another year and a half? Or is this next 6 months going to kind of bring it to a close? Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm looking for people that are willing to experiment.
That's awesome. I mean, post-COVID, like life, if nothing else, is a big giant experiment in this. Everything.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Everything's changing.
You wanted to try, let's just try it now.
Do it and see. And the fun stuff on the digital side is like it's cost negligent in the grand scheme of things. You know, I've got a friend that is planting Jade Earhart. You may know him through Exponential, okay. But he does social media for Exponential at the conferences or something and some video work. But he's doing a digital only church and growing into that.
Nice.
And I think he spent $5 on a font. Like he's getting his salary from somewhere else. He's contracting with other people. By the way, if you're looking for video work, Jade Earhart, I'll include a link in the show notes. He's awesome. But what he's doing is like, yeah, I'm using a platform called Discord that's free. I'm connecting with like almost 1,000 video gamers at this point. And he's taking them through four fields, which is a free discipleship material. And he's reshaping it. And it's like, yeah, this is, and it's effective. He's got 100 probably disciple makers, apprentices out there. I attended one of his, what he would call a small group. It yeah. was, they were playing a game called Terra, a video game. And so literally I'm watching them play video games and then I'm listening to them dialogue and talk about the Bible and literally quoting scripture while playing video games. And I'm like, this is crazy. I could never do this. But then I look down and I see that he's got like 30 some kids watching this, like in real time. And I'm like, it's a new freaking world, man. It's just, they're finding ways to do it. And so it really does come down to this level of let's find ways to experiment for the kingdom. The gasoline that was spewed on the COVID situation that brought about the explosion. Let's figure out the new thing to do to kind of work through that, which really gets us into this idea of a digital church. And so that's some of what, you know, Jate, as an example, is working on. There's definitely other guys like DJ Soto, who's doing some incredible stuff in virtual reality, where he's got hundreds of people. At this point, I think he's got three different, maybe four different church expressions in virtual reality on different continents and even on different platforms at this point. He just opened up one in PlayStation VR. So he's doing this, he's doing these works. As a pastor, though, sometimes we look at like the Acts 2, the ecclesiology of what a church is, and rather than looking at the biblical model of, well, you know, how do you do communion in virtual? Actually, DJ Soto, as an example, he actually got like made fun of. BBC did a news show on him, Fox, CNN, The Daily Show ran a shtick on him because he was baptizing people in virtual reality. People's
how was he doing changed. That?
I mean, literally like an avatar. Let's have the conversation.
Yeah.
Literally, someone would baptize an avatar in virtual reality.
Yeah.
And he was calling it baptism. BBC picked up the news story and it just blew up. Now, you know, and I don't want to speak for DJ, but we've talked about it on this podcast. It's an outward symbol. People were seeing it. He did not, the person who got baptized, the water molecules did not actually like touch skin, but we're also saying, you know, there's no power in the water molecules. It's a symbolism. It's a symbolic act done in front of people. There were other people in the room watching the virtual reality avatars and on screen. So it counts. What tensions do you feel? I'm just curious, you know, why not? What tensions do you feel with conversations like that? As you look at what a traditional church's ecclesiology would be executing some of those things in digital only.
You're probably asking the wrong guy that, cause yeah, I don't really feel the tensions I just see lots of opportunity and it's That's more awesome. A curiosity. So like when you said he was baptizing people, I'm going like, how do you baptize people online? So for me, it just even physically, it doesn't show up as a tension. It shows up as like curiosity, like, oh, how could I do that? And that's partly personality.
Yeah. Well, and you're leaning into it as opposed to by nature of who you are, you're going to be more apt to, hey, let's lean in and try to figure this out. As opposed to, you know, I hate to say the analogy, but the I'm an old guy, get off my lawn kind of thing. Somebody quoted that to me recently. Sorry, it was a bad pun. But there's an opportunity, if nothing else, right, to look at church in a new way, whether it's through micro locations, whether it's through a digital only. The real power comes down to individuals. Enable to do this. From a church planning side, we need digital church planners. From a micro location side, we need people to be the apprentice to the level that they're on mission and then unleashed out to go and create these relationships, work through their circle of influence to grow and disciple someone to that point. Now, there may be some people listening, and I've worked on their staffs. I've had conversations with these people that leadership doesn't lean in like you do. They lean back. I had a conversation with, I want to say he wasn't an online pastor. I think he's a youth guy. But in this season, he's been operating as an online pastor in the church and never done it before. He loves this idea of being an online pastor, online ministry, discipleship online, these things. This is just one story of many. But the church coming out of this COVID season, they're reverting back to normal. So rather than leaning in, we're leaning out. Give some advice to this guy. How would you, does he try to convince? Does he try to leave? Does he just stay put in where he's at? Like, how do you handle that tension right now at a church?
Well, I was talking to our staff. We had our all staff meeting this morning, and basically we just gone through and we've repurposed and kind of refocused everyone's role, and a whole huge number of people who weren't before are now a part of our online team and a part of our communications team and all that. And part of it, I said, is if our mission has stayed the same, and our mission statement is to help people find their way back to God, and the way we do that is, like we've already talked about, 3C Christ followers. I said, in order to do that, though, I think in the future, right now and going forward for the foreseeable future, there's three different customers out there. There's three different kinds of people we're trying to reach. I call them stop people, yield people, and go people. The go people are folks going like, I can't wait to get out of this house. You open up anything, I'll show up. The yield people are, I'll leave, but I'm going to be cautious because I want to make sure it's safe. And the stop people are people, I'm not leaving unless I have to. And I think what we're seeing is we're going to see all three of those at least for the next year and maybe beyond that, because who knows when COVID-20 shows up or whatever else is next. And if you really are serious about, like in our language, helping people find their way back to God or reaching people who are far from God, then you have to figure out ways to reach all three of those people. And the only way you're going to reach a whole bunch of those yield people and all those stop people is going to be online. And it's already evidenced too. I mean, some of the churches that are now opening up, most of them that are opening up, I mean, they're seeing, sometimes as low as, 12%, but nobody's usually bumping past 30 or 40% of their normal attendance before. Well, where are those people? Right? They're yield or they stop. They stay, they're hesitant or they're stayed at home. And so to not have an online presence. So, I mean, first, I think if I was coaching this guy, I'd say, hey, I'd take this back to your lead pastor, your senior pastor, say, hey, I think the future kind of looks like this. And if we're serious about reaching people and paying our staff, we better reach these things. And then at that point, if the answer is still no, well, then you probably need to find another job.
It's interesting with your stop, yield, and go. There may be another category. I don't know. It doesn't fit neatly.
Sure.
And so maybe you don't consider it, but you got me thinking.
Yeah,
those are all people that fit within the physical model of church.
Right.
So stop, yield, and go assumes that they're attending a physical building, and the stop, yield, and go
that they used to. Yeah. Right.
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 What about? And I'm just curious because you're nationally known, and so you've got a potentially a broad reach. Do you see traction outside of the Chicago area? Are there people who engage with your church online as a result, but maybe live in different cities or states, countries even? Like, what's the digital footprint look like?
Yes. I mean, I haven't got the updated stats over the last 3 weeks, probably, on these particular numbers, but as of the first 7 or 8 weeks into just being just online, we were in 1,500 cities in 40 countries.
Oh, you mentioned that. You did say that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's definitely happening. And some of the folks, I mean, they're there. We do 6 different services on Sunday, and some are there the same service. It's like they're sitting in the same pew. They're there the same service. Guy from Australia, he's Mike McGarity. Hey, he's there and checking in. Dude from India checking in.
Talk to me about the responsibility you feel towards dude in India. I love that. I don't want to make let's make that the example. So like the end game with discipleship is to get that dude in India. For you would be to make him an apprentice to launch out. Like, do you look at dude in India the same way?
Yeah. In fact, In fact, when we talk about what we want to do with these micro churches, these 3C communities, I mean, it's not so much my friend and the other, that guy, but it's the guy in Australia. I'll use Mike as the guy. Hey, you know, Mike's been there every week. He would, I think if we launch this thing, I think Mike would be the kind of guy going, hey, I would love to do one of these in my neighborhood. Can I lead a 3C community? And we would say yes. And we would build a relationship with him and we would equip him and we'd coach him. We'd have a leadership community that he'd be a part of and off, we'd be off and running.
Talk to me a little bit.
I think that's the thing that's awesome about this whole thing.
So you're used to multiplication and I love this. It's built into your DNA. You're already a church planner. You're talking about this. You know, there's a level of, okay, this guy's in Australia. I want to empower him to do this, but he's in Australia. I can't control him. I've got to create a culture and then unleash him. Like what's quality control? What does it look like when you actually let go? What does letting go look like in a situation like this?
Well, I mean, again, I think, I think control is a little bit of an illusion. And, you know, so you don't really have control. You only have whatever people give you. And so I would want to covenant with him, like, okay, hey, how are we going to do this thing? And like we talked about before, it'd be like, let's try this for 18 months. And he would make a commitment to us and we make a commitment to him. And then we just trust each other. I like to lead with a yes on that kind of stuff. We trust each other and we'd go forward. And then we'd reevaluate somewhere around the 12-month mark. I had Scott Beck say that to me, which was fascinating, that the most important quality online is trust. And that's what I thought that was, and I more I thought about that, boy, if your church can become a trusted brand, I mean, then you have tremendous opportunity. If they're skeptical or people are, you know, what kind of a leader are you or what are you doing with your money or why are you trying to influence me this way? Then you don't have it. Then this thing doesn't scale. But if people trust you and it's well placed, sky's the limit.
This has been a great podcast, man. Dave, I want to thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks for what you're doing. I think what you're up to is really, really important. And I'm glad you're kind of spreading the good news and the opportunity about this.
Awesome. Hey, just maybe even as we're landing the plane, any closing thoughts?
One of the things that was passed to me and that I've been passing along to our church is a really simple slogan that's kind of based on that verse, you know, where it says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And I think I've been kind of trying to operate this way, where fear sees a crisis, faith sees opportunity. Where fear sees a crisis, faith sees opportunity. And I think if we will begin to look at this situation through the lens that God and His Spirit wants to give us, I think there are tremendous opportunities, and particularly what you're championing for the church and church planting and multiplication and discipleship. So I'm grateful for what you're doing.
Awesome. Yeah, super, super appreciative of that. And let us not live in a spirit of fear, but let's grab it in full circle and with God's help work through it. So thank you very much, sir, for the time. For Dave, this is Jeff with The Church Digital. Hey, everybody, thanks for jumping on the podcast with us, and we'll see you next time here at the show. Y'all have a good day.